Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell. With The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
The Burt Show.
I think it might be one of only like three things my dad ever really said to me that stuck. And I applied it to a friend a couple of days ago. And that message was that he used to instill in me as I was much younger and I thought I was making decisions at 10 years old that were going to define my entire life. Like, I specifically remember playing on one baseball team in one league, but then had the opportunity to play on a different one because I was unhappy with this one little league team and struggling over this decision. I must have been 12 years old or something like that. I guess keeping me up at night, man. Like, should I go and I play with my friends or this better team? And I remember him sitting me down after I was talking to him about it and him saying, look, here's the thing. You struggled with thinking about both sides already, or have you? Have you put down on a piece of paper like the pluses and the minuses of going from this team to the other? And after a while, after you've thought about it and really thought it out, once you make a decision, the decision is in your past. Do not think about it again. Now you move forward, right? Don't start second guessing yourself. You make the decision, go for it, and be at peace with it. So I think somewhere in my heart, that's what I would, the driving force between giving my friend this advice that I was telling you about the other day. And you guys were asking me how it all ended. And now I know. So this dude I know that's in radio is part of a co-hosting team. And on the air, you would never know it. They sound like they have the greatest chemistry in the world. And by the way, if you're listening to morning shows, three-fourths of them hate each other. I mean, or there's somebody in there, man, that nobody likes. It's just, as I tried to explain yesterday, when you put together a show like this, or even in offices outside of here, the most successful ones are when you bring a whole bunch of people around that don't see life through the same lens. It's great, but it's also taxing, right? Especially taxing in a studio when you're talking to each other for 5 hours and you have different opinions every single time. Sometimes you can really take that personally. So this is that kind of show where they have a bunch of people in the studio, but the two hosts, they just don't like each other at all. And my friend has been complaining about this now for 3 to 5 years, and he's been stuck in these contracts. Well, his contract was up, and he had this decision to make. Do I stay in this city? Do I stay on this show that I'm really not happy with and I absolutely hate my partner? Or do I stick it out over the course of the next 3 years? They've given me a nice little raise. It certainly made it a very tempting offer, but what is the cost of my mental health?
And it's so funny too. Like, you can be a part of a show where people are like at each other's necks, and you're doing so well.
Money-wise,
rating-wise. It's so funny how you can be butting heads, but the show can still be super successful.
Right. And it's very hard to leave something like that.
It is very hard to leave something like that.
In our industry, as I said, this isn't a hard job. It's a taxing job. So when you build up something over the years, that's hard to leave. It really is. And this applies to other jobs also, and applies to relationships as well. You know, you're constantly asking yourself, like, do I want to quote unquote re-up in this relationship? And if you do, you kind of got to STFU. In your relationships, there's no contract though. So you can second guess yourself and you can take off. In business, when you're doing contracts, you're going to be stuck there for 3 or 5 years.
You're basically asking yourself, how much does my peace of mind cost?
Right. So, he made the decision. Is it going to be the golden handcuffs or is he going to choose his mental health and his spirit? And by the way, this show has been with each other probably 15, 20 years.
Wow. Right, so, Abby, let's try to guess.
Am I leaving the show?
No.
This is not about you or anybody here.
Do we think he signed the contract or do we think he's bouncing?
I 100% think he signed the contract. I think the golden handcuffs theory is so real, especially when you've been with a crew for 15 years. It's like, what's another 2 or 3 years? And if you think about it, if you really want to get out, sign one more contract, take the cash and plan your exit route for the next couple of years and then figure it out.
3 years is a lot of time to be stuck in a 10 by 10 room with somebody that you absolutely hate, because it starts to affect you in different areas.
Heck
also.
Yeah.
Same as a relationship, man. If you're not happy at work technically is what? 8 hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
Very minimum 8 hours a day. If those 8 hours suck, then your sleep is going to suck.
Yep.
Your social life takes a hit also.
Yep.
Your family life takes a hit also. So it's not just about the job.
You know what also sucks though? Not being able to pay your bills.
Yep.
So there's that.
Now this guy would probably be able to start his own show or get another show in the city that he's in and compete against the guy he hates, which would be awesome. Or just leave and end up being successful, I think.
So that's my argument. I think he signed it because I think then you wouldn't be having those conversations about him complaining. I think he would be having conversations with you of how the heck do I start my own show? So I think he signed it.
My heart says he's walking away and finding his peace and his future elsewhere. But my brain says he signed that contract.
Oh, he signed that contract.
Yeah, I know. He signed that contract.
And I had to say to him, okay, dude, that's good that you did that, but now it stops here.
Yep.
No more complaining.
Mm-hmm.
No more going to the program director. This is it.
Yep.
You just signed it. You committed. You knew what you were getting into. You've been in this relationship for 15 years. There are no secrets. Now, STFU and make your cash.
He picked his hard.
And that's right. He totally did. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
She got offered a position at her husband's company. He doesn't want her to take it, and she wants our advice here in just 1 second. Before we get into that, I do want to address something with Abby here. Abby, it seems like the boomers have moved on from their hate for you about your cat stunt, your sonogram stunt, and now they are coming after you over grammar.
Oh, my God. I am at my wit's end. I was on a walk yesterday, and I just got a DM that sent me into a spiral. I don't know what has been in the air in the last couple of weeks, but I feel like I've gotten a series of emails and DMs where people are nitpicking my grammar. And I don't understand this. This isn't new. I've had boomer bosses and boomer colleagues before that will just stop you mid-sentence and be like, actually, it's she and I and not her and I. And I talk like a normal, regular American with somewhat imperfect grammar that makes sense to most people. And so I was looking at a DM I got yesterday where someone just took my Instagram story way too seriously and was like, well, actually, the apostrophe should... And I was just like, you know what?
Enough.
Blah!
Enough already.
I was
right?
like, get out of my DMs. They were my last straw. I'm sure they are a perfectly lovely human. I'm sure they're listening right now. But just know, you caught me out on a bad hour. And I was like, I simply... You've lost Instagram story privileges. Leave me alone.
Who critiques Instagram punctuation?
Oh, I get it quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
But if they actually knew you, they know that's just lovable you.
Yeah, I'm just lazy when it comes to that. And backspacing takes up too much time. So I see it. I'm just like, nah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why it's such like a pain point for the boomers. Like, leave me alone. Like, if I use something out of context or if it's a word that doesn't mean the thing that you think, I don't know. It's just so ridiculous to me. Like, why is this taking up headspace for you?
There are real palpable reasons to dislike you. That is not one of them.
There are so many things that you can come after me yes. for. My apostrophe usage should not be one of them.
I felt like I had tremendous growth the other day because I posted something that I thought was mildly funny, but I used the wrong your. I put Y-O-U-R instead of Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. And I was this close to deleting it and reposting it. And I was like, life's too short.
Feels good, doesn't it?
I'm like, I'm going to let this puppy ride. I don't care.
Feels good.
Like, I hate it. I hate this for me, but at the same time, I don't because this is growth and I'm just going to let it slide.
Sometimes I leave it up purposely because it's really good for engagement. And
yeah, yeah, it is, right?
Someone's got to pay the bills and it's me.
All right, so the email is, she's really conflicted here because she was offered a job at her husband's company. Sounds great, more money, but her husband absolutely doesn't want her to take it. What should she do?
I need your advice on a situation that's causing some serious tension in my marriage. I was recently offered a great job in the marketing department of my husband's company. To say my husband is not happy about it is an understatement. In fact, he's mad that I even applied without telling him. And now that I've been offered the job, he's even more upset. To be clear, it's a small company, but we wouldn't be working side by side. He's in sales, I'd be in marketing. There would be some interaction, but not all the time. He thinks we already spend enough time together every night, every weekend, and that I should, quote unquote, take my talent elsewhere. He doesn't want to carpool or have lunch together every day and feels like working at the same company is just too much. He says he needs his independence and that this makes him uncomfortable. I, on the other hand, think this is a fantastic opportunity and I don't see why he can't make it work. We'd be in different departments. I'd respect his space, but he is so against it that I'm wondering if I'm being selfish for wanting this job. So who's right here? Should I turn down a great job for the sake of his comfort, or should he try to compromise? Would love to hear what you and your listeners think. The company needs my decision by end of business today, so I'm feeling the pressure. Help!
Okay, so let's not default to the worst case drama where obviously there's a woman in the office, he doesn't want you around. Let's throw that one out.
Let's just say he just really doesn't want to work with his wife.
Right. So this dude is telling you that he knows himself, that he needs this kind of space, this kind of separation between church and state. I'm very independent like that also. No matter who I'm in love with, I really wouldn't want to be around them 24/7. I got to be just smothering. So he is telling you that. So I don't think it is a person. You shouldn't really necessarily take this personally. He's there first. He's saying that, hey, this is what I'm not comfortable with. And we're always complaining that guys aren't communicating their true feelings. Here he is doing that. He's telling you what he wants.
I mean, I personally would be offended if the person I love more than anything is like, yeah, I don't want to be around you. I'm going to take that as a gut punch. But I don't think that he's wrong for expressing it because I am kind of the same way where I think it's important to be able to miss someone in your relationship. And the thing about work is it gives you like 8 hours of your day to do something outside of your relationship so that when you come back home, A, you have things to talk about, but B, it gives you some kind of autonomy outside of that relationship that makes you feel like you're a whole and complete person. And if you see that person from sunrise to sunset, I can understand how that's just going to get overwhelming at some point.
Cassie, I know you are a very self-proclaimed independent woman. If your husband, Chad, got a job here at the radio station, but it wasn't in programming, it was over in sales, how would that make you feel?
I'd love it. I think it'd be really cool to have that touch point and that he would understand my stories. He'd have insight. I actually think it would bring us closer together.
Yeah, I think it's a personality thing. Mm-hmm. I really do. And he's telling you this is the kind of personality I have. And you knew this probably before you guys got married, who he was.
Yeah.
Good morning to Emily. You were on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I was just going to agree with the email. I work in a company where it's full of family members. They are all husband, wives, sons, brother-in-laws, like everything. And I, without a shadow of a doubt, could tell you I could never work with my partner. I see what they go through and what they take home, and you can't take work home and home to work. It's just, you can't separate it.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
It's a lot of time. Thank you for calling.
God, my poor husband, I take work home all the time.
It would appear as though we're only taking calls from Emily's today.
Yeah.
Emily number two, you were on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. So currently, actually, I work at a company where I got my fiance a job working with me. We do work in two separate departments, and we see each other in passing, and I absolutely adore working with him. We ride in, commute in the morning. I get to ride home with him. I never have to spend that 8 hours of the day wasted where I can't, where I'm just texting him. Mm-hmm. I always get to see him, and that is like my favorite part of working where I work.
Okay, maybe I'm just being a little bit crusty here, but is it possible because you guys are engaged, it's still a new relationship, the flame is still burning, that it might be different in a decade?
I don't think so. Okay. I am absolutely obsessed with this man as much as he is obsessed with me. So I see this going for the long run.
I hope you're right.
There are morning shows out there that are like husband wife teams.
No. Absolutely not, man. Absolutely not.
What was that noise that came out of you?
No. Panic.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolute panic.
Got it.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data, keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
My husband and I are going to give this one more shot. But if I'm being honest, we're going to fail.
You already know this.
I honestly think we're going to fail.
And why even try it?
I don't know. I don't, because I'm a glutton for punishment. I don't know. So my husband and I are trying something new this year when it comes to like our New Year's resolutions, goals, etc. At the beginning of the year, we typically choose three things for each other to work on. And it's, I think they were too unattainable. They were too large scoping. So instead of doing like three major ones for the entire year, I'm like, let's break it down into manageable, digestible, doable bites. And we'll pick three smaller things each month for each other to try to accomplish, whether it's like an item to get off the to-do list, to remove some of that mental load, or just things that will overall improve our mental health, our physical health, et cetera.
On paper, it sounds like a really great idea. I think I mentioned this before that, I mean, if you're improving three things a month, 12 times three, 36.
I know.
That's 36 changes that you made for the positive over the whole year. Now, if you say that in the beginning of the year and you're like, you know what? We're going to make 35 changes each. You both are going to look at each other and go, absolutely not. Nobody can make 35. But when you break it down three a month, seems doable.
But they got to be bite size, right? So our bite size New Year's resolutions for each other in January. For me, it was to be consistent with yoga, to do dry January, and to renew our passports. I was consistent with yoga. I did complete dry January, but I did not renew our passports.
Two of three? Okay. Let's celebrate those.
Okay. And then my husband, the items that I gave him, he was to throw away all of his holy socks and underwear, which he did. And then he was to finish the garage door because it's been installed, but it has to be painted and trimmed and the hardware has to be put on. That did not get done. And then there is this folding table in our primary bedroom that is stacked full of crap and papers and stuff. And he was supposed to clean that off. And he did not.
Just curious, who put all that crap on top of the table?
He did.
Okay.
It's his stuff.
All right.
So that didn't happen, right? I was like, all right, for February, instead of taking those and rolling them over and adding three more, I'm like, we're going to keep it at three. So I rolled over passports. I also put on there yoga / strength training because I need to start strength training. And then my last one was to clear off the desk. So there is a desk in our primary bedroom that has a lot of my crap on it that I need to clean off, right? Okay.
You're sure it's still in there?
It is.
Underneath all that stuff?
It's my grandpa's old puzzle table that he used to do his puzzles on.
Aww.
So those are mine. So I moved over for my husband their garage door and that folding table with crap. And what was the third one was the refrigerator. So we have that condo from hell still. So we're taking our old refrigerator in our house, moving it over there, and we bought a new refrigerator that we put in our house, right? So right now, I'm like, I'm like every middle class family's dream. I got two refrigerators, mm-hmm. but they're both in the kitchen. So that other refrigerator needs to up out of here. So
at least it's not on the patio.
It's not. Okay. No, it's just Cassie came over for a play date and she laughed when I opened up that one and pulled stuff out of it. And she's like, oh, my God, it works. And I'm like, yes, it's plugged in. Like the refrigerators both have stuff in them. So I'm sitting here and I once again plastered it on that new refrigerator door so we can see it. Instead of writing it in pen, I wrote it in Sharpie. So it's a little more like
official
in your face.
Yeah.
And there it sits. And every day I look at it, and every day it's just a reminder of the S we're not going to get done. So I'm like, I'm in this place where I know it's going to be beneficial for us to get this stuff off our plates, and it'll free up our minds. It'll free up our spirits. It'll be like that, you know, proverbial burden that's weighing on your shoulders and just lighten the load. But in my heart and in my gut, I know we're not going to do it.
Well, if you're not fired up to do it now, you know it's not going to happen.
I mean,
set yourself up for failure, man.
So, but how do we get stuff done?
How about two instead of three? How about just two?
What about one? How about half of one? Oh. What if you just try one? What if you think about trying one?
And I did love Cassie's idea as far as like holding each other accountable for incentive. Like whoever gets the most stuff done gets to buy themselves something really nice. Mm. And I could do that so easily.
Like a third refrigerator for the kitchen.
I could so do that so easily, but my husband is not a splurger. He's not going to buy himself anything nice. Or maybe the prevention of me buying something would be more the incentive for him. Like if he does it all, then I can't buy anything.
Yeah, the prevention. But maybe a different tactic is needed. You're probably not going to like this because I know some of the mess is his. Maybe it's goals you tackle together.
But then I gotta hang out with him.
Why would you want to do that?
I kid.
What if you make the offer? If he gets his done, he gets to hook up with somebody for at least once a month. Someone other than you.
You're not funny.
Do you want motivation?
That's crazy.
All right, Abby, so you got the big party this weekend. The big cat party.
I'm so excited. My cat whisker warming party is this Saturday. I've got all the invites out.
It's tomorrow.
The people are coming.
Everybody in Atlanta's talking about
it. Everyone's like, oh my God, have you heard? The Sip and See is happening. How do we get a ticket? How do we get an invite? People are dying to come, but only 12 people get to come because I live in a small apartment.
Did you really cap it at 12?
Yeah, I was like, we can't have this many people in my apartment. I don't want to clean that big of a mess up.
And you could really find more than 12 people that would have wanted to go.
Oh, the people are burnt. The people are excited.
There's a wait list, Amy.
There's a wait list for the wait list. So I got the Sauvignon Blanc and went to Whole Foods yesterday. I got the white wine. I ordered all my catering from Publix. I'm going to pick that up. And I'm especially excited for the party because my cats are finally sort of getting along.
That's great.
This is a big deal because I have two cats. I have a 5-year-old cat named Della, and I just got a kitten named Betty, who is about 4 months old now. And Betty is like the extrovert. She wants to hang out with me. She wants to hang out with Della. She's like getting up in Della's business being like, can we be friends? I want to be friends. Can we hang out? And Della just wants nothing to do with it. And so then they graduated to like play fighting, to which I was a little concerned that it was actual fighting because the term cat fight, turns out that's a real thing.
Yep.
I thought at some point they were going to claw each other's eyes out. And then I was sitting on the couch the other day and I was watching them do their little play fight thing. And then all of a sudden I saw my older cat Della do an act of friendship that told me, oh my God, they might be friends.
Oh, really?
What was the act of friendship?
So when an animal shows another animal their belly, it's a sign that they feel safe and that they don't think that the other cat or dog is going to do something to hurt them. And it's sort of like the olive branch. It's like a big furry olive branch that says, we're going to get through this, pal.
Aww. So Della exposed her underside.
Yes, she showed her belly. So the friends know. So it's perfect timing for the Sip and See. So you won't have to see any bleeding eyes when you come over to my apartment.
But that was part of the allure, was to hopefully see a cat fight.
I know. Well, there's going to be 12 women there. So who knows?
It's probably going to happen.
Right,
well, good luck with your party this
I'm
weekend.
So excited.
Oh, the stress is high.
And remind everybody about the registry.
Oh, yes. And I am having a registry for Planned Pethood. good of Atlanta. So if you want to check out how you can support a local shelter that's doing some really good in the area, you can head to my Instagram bio.
The Bert Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data, keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Bert. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout. So it is Super Bowl Sunday. A lot of people are making bets over the weekend. I put my money on Philly. I don't know what, why, or it's just a gut feeling. And I've been dabbling in betting now for this is the very first year I've been doing it. Nothing big, more of a dopamine hit and just to be able to say, oh, I see, I know what I'm talking about, right? And I've hit at about 70% this year throughout the entire season, which is really, really good.
Very good.
And I have a couple of rules. And I don't know if you want to follow these next year, but they have worked for me this year.
Don't make it personal.
Well, it's not.
I know. It's just,
it's just business. I never bet against a home team.
That's a good one.
And I only bet on home teams that have a really big point spread. Like if they're favored by like 8 or 9 points, generally they have been covering that.
And you do that as a single bet or as a parlay?
As a single bet.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah. would those be considered safe bets?
For me, it has been. I just stumbled on this, and it's worked this year. And anytime I go against it, I end up losing. So those are my things. So when I was going into the Super Bowl, to be honest with you, I've done really well this year that I'm like, you know what? I got nothing to lose, so I'm just going to put it – I'm putting it all on the Eagles.
But it's not a home game for either one of them, is it?
It's not a home game for either one of them, but the point spread is only a point and a half.
Close.
Which means it's going to be so – it could go either way. It's not a safe bet at all, where these other bets that I've made, at least in my opinion this year, have been very, very safe bets.
Mm-hmm.
Mo, however, has got $5,000 riding on it this weekend.
And I didn't even mean for this to be a thing. Normally, I would not bet on the Super Bowl. I like to just enjoy the game. But I just entered myself in this pot thinking that I wasn't even going to be one of the finalists, where it's like March Madness bracket style, and you just choose whichever teams you think will win and make it to the Super Bowl. And my bracket was pretty much perfect. So I ended up being the final, one of the final two guys. And it's a $50 buy-in. It's I think 50 or more people in the pot. It ends up being a $5,000 grand total.
So you can turn your $50 into $5,000.
Right. And I chose Kansas City not because I'm rooting for them, but more so to me, like when you said, don't take it personal. My mind told me Kansas City's going to win the Super Bowl. That's just what I went with. And they happened to make it with Philly. Now, I chose Kansas City. The guy I'm up against, he chose Philly. And he came to me a week ago and said, listen, instead of us playing for this $5,000, what do you think that we split it down the middle? We both take $2,500 and we can just enjoy the game. We all walk away with something. You turn 50 into 25. It's a win-win for everybody. And that's what most people told me to do. That was the advice in my circle. And I was going to do it until I got a text message from my grandmother after she heard the segment. And she was like, nah, that's not how we move in this family. You go hard or you go home. That is literally what she said to me. And she said, bet with your heart. You put it in that Kansas City is going to win. Still believe that Kansas City is going to win and go get that $5,000. So I took my grandmother's advice and I told him, no, thank you for splitting it in half. I'm all in for Kansas City to win $5,000 on the line.
All or nothing, baby.
All or nothing.
So maybe you said this. Were you going to do the $2,500 until you got the text from your grandmother?
I was. Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, I was going to do it because that's what everybody was saying. It made the most sense, right? That's the only way that it's possible for you to not walk away with nothing. But grandma's grandma, man, she got into my head. She made me feel like, why would I do that? I still believe that Kansas City is going to win, so I'm all in.
It's a lot of money. Is there any chance? I mean, is there a window open here still before kickoff where you could call your dude back and go, you know what? I've reconsidered. Let's do the $2,500.
Maybe. I don't think so, because he told me it was a one-time thing. He was like, I'll
take
it.
One-time offer?
Yeah, he said it's a one-time offer, because he really believes Philly is going to win, and I really believe Kansas City is going to win. So he said it was a one-time offer. I called him back. I didn't want to overthink it, because that's my thing. I just told him back and said, nah, the bet is on. We all in.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And I want to think it's not going to hurt as much, knowing that, you know, technically it's only $50 you lost if you lose, but... I can't even look at it like that, because that's $5,000. Like, you haven't already spent it in your head, have you?
No, see, because that's what happens. I try not to do that, but in my mind, I've already got like a bunch of things I want to do with this money that I don't even have yet.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you pushing for the $5,000 because you've got something you want to do that's going to cost an extra $2,500?
Absolutely. I mean, there's plans that I have that this $5,000 would help out, obviously, a lot more than the $25,000, but... Like you said, if it doesn't happen, it's not going to feel like I lost 50. It's going to feel like I lost 5,000.
So your lady advised you to go for the 2,500.
She told me do whatever. Go with your heart. That's what she told me. Go with your gut.
So give us a couple of nuggets. If you win the $5,000, what's some of it going to be spent on?
Well, I'm building a studio right now. So that's really where a lot of my finances have been going. And I could use this $5,000 to replenish some of what I've already spent. So it's a couple of things I want to do for my family. And then I want to finish my studio. And this $5,000 will make that possible.
Okay.
Now I almost want to lose my money so you can win yours.
Now we're betting against each other.
Almost. The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Burt, I'm going to warn you. You might want to take a deep, healing breath before we get into this e-buzz.
Okay, what's it about?
Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm on to him, though. I might have a different opinion about him today. I'll fill you in after you tell me about this.
Okay, surprise me. So Kanye West is calling for the release of Sean Diddy Combs. He's saying he should be released from prison. So he got on X, formerly known as Twitter, and said, free Puff. And basically said, we watched and went into like this whole rant. He said, nobody really stands up for anybody in the community. He tried to bring in Chris Brown into the mix and ended it by saying, let's see how funny it gets when families are separated, especially Black families. Now, I think it's important to remind everyone what Sean Diddy Combs is being held for. He's being held without bail in a Brooklyn facility. He is currently awaiting his court dates for charges on sex trafficking and a racketeering trial. That's going to be scheduled for May.
Really felt myself, I told you guys this after the Grammys, having a lot, I was loathing Kanye. I've always been a guy that's really appreciated his early music, put up with all of his nonsense with Kim Kardashian. I thought maybe he was bipolar and he just wasn't getting any help. So I tried to like really embrace him and be sensitive and compassionate about it. And I've just realized that the last month, how much I was loathing him. And it's just a celebrity. It doesn't have anything to do with my life whatsoever. I shouldn't be spending 1 ounce of energy on this kid. And then I realized like, this is part of his game plan, man. He now is what they call in wrestling a heel, right? And I'm not exactly sure the term, like when you were a good guy and you turn bad in wrestling, but he just wants to be the villain now. So what he is doing and saying, I think is all calculated, because I think this is intoxicating for him. I think he realizes, like, I'm getting so much negative plus publicity anyway. Now I'm going to go over the top and say the most outrageous things that are going to keep me and my wife in the press.
I always wondered what the allure between him and Kim Kardashian were. Like, I always wondered what kept them together. Why were they friends? Why did they end up getting married? And I think it is exactly that philosophy of the Kardashians' lifeblood is pretty much any kind of drama or negative press they can have about themselves that keeps them relevant in the media. And Kanye West is essentially doing the same thing, where it's like, okay, if good things aren't going to come out about me, I'm just going to swing in the other direction and keep things as negative as possible so people keep talking about me.
I mean, this is outrageous what he's talking about here. I mean, especially for a guy that has kids, this is as gross, if not grosser, than what he's doing to his wife or what she's allowing to have happen to her, also with putting her on display. She's practically naked, using her the way he's doing this, but it's all in a very dysfunctional, calculated way.
And I think to your point, I think he really is leaning into this villain archetype, because his new album is apparently going to be called Bully. And it might have everything to do with his 9-year-old son, Saint. So there's an audio clip of him where he can be heard saying, My son, Saint, was playing with some kid and then he kicked him. I asked my son, why'd you do that? And he said, because he's weak. And I was like, this man is really a bully. So Bully is coming out on June 15th, which is his daughter's Northwest's birthday. And I think it might maybe be leaning more into all of this negative space.
So was he saying about his kid that my kid did the right thing because there was another kid that was weak, so he was bullying him?
I don't know if he's necessarily endorsing it, but he acknowledges that he has a son that's a bully. And I don't really think he has an opinion on whether that's good or bad. And maybe that's what he's going to get into in the album. So very interesting stuff coming out from Kanye West. He's really leaning into all of this negativity. Yeah. And it's honestly really not that surprising compared, basically, after everything we've seen from him. This is old news. This is Kanye being Kanye.
I think he's playing a part now. I don't know what he authentically is like, but now I think that he's given into this part.
All right, Jason Kelsey says he has a parenting philosophy that his kids hate, obviously, but so does his wife. Let's see if you agree on your next Eva's on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.